company.
Wait for it. No one knows Crass? Nobody? Hello, everybody. Welcome to Meltdown Comics. Harmontown is in session once again. Yeah. I love this song. No one knows Crass, anarchist punk band from the 70s?
Big eye looks like I'm simply. This is the mark, touch your body, one can make.
One, two, three, four! I'm Jeff Davis, the comptroller. Welcome to the stage, your mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Oh, the stage is down again. I thought that was a permanent thing, that they were going to raise the stage. So I pick the worst ways to open shows. Like, I can't.
Especially podcasts, that visual stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever done it right, have I? No.
You came out with your shirt off a couple times.
Yeah. Is that right, or is that just like a symptom of how nervous I am about how to start the show?
I think it's exhilarating.
You made some bad choices with that music. What was going on?
I did not make my only bad choice. I thought the song started right away. I forgot there was kids playing stuff.
Kids playing. There's like eight different beginnings of the song. There's George Bush saying no new taxes. And, there was like dialogue from a kung fu movie, and Freddy Krueger came out.
I think it was like little kids playing like hopscotch or a skip rope or some business.
Well, we're here now, and now the show's underway. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you start. It doesn't matter if you come up and talk about how low the stage is. The entertainment's always just around the corner. Not that our goal is to be entertaining. It's a town meeting, right, Jeff?
Right.
Our comptroller Jeff Davis is here. Let's have a hand for him, as always. He doesn't get paid for this. He does it for the love of government.
Yeah. I love rules. I love governing.
Speaking of government, please, I can't recommend highly enough. I watched last night the WikiLeaks documentary. It's called We Steal Secrets. I think it's on, I don't know if it's on the Netflixes or whatever. We saw it on Apple TV because we're douches. But it's really, really enthralling. I was kind of checked out during that time when the Julian Assange with the thing in the ear that was happening. I was getting vague reports of what was going on, and I'd see Bill Hader on SNL doing an impression. I was working on Community, and I had not yet been banished to my Ecuadorian embassy. But it doesn't really matter what you think of Julian Assange or what happened, or if you think information should be free or cost $5 a pound, whatever the alternate view is. It really is, because it's such a well done documentary. It's really very objective and just kind of reports on it. What is it truly like? Probably one of the most interesting modern historical stories that we lived through in recent times. I don't even know if a documentary about 9/11 would have more like impacting kind of information in it. Boy, I'm really blowing this movie. Like, let's all go home and you can just watch it. I just thought it was amazing. The takeaway, I won't do any spoilers or anything. One of the things that washed off the movie and kind of washed over me was just this concept that like we as this throng, like we live in this big honeycomb and we're all good people, we're all pretty decent. And then this throng is able to do these like really weird nasty things, and part of the reason it's able to do nasty things is precisely because with a throng it's possible to stop communicating, to stop exchanging information freely, for everyone to know what's going on with everybody all the time. You step over a homeless person on the way to 7-Eleven and you don't have time. Like I've talked about this before. What if we had an economic system where helping people was actually what made you worth more, got you more more laid got you better suits and stuff. Like people would, you know, homeless people would become like targets. You know, you'd slam on your brakes and jump out of the car, throw a blanket around them, try to score something. But that problem would be wiped out. I don't know if the country would do great or not as a result. But it's got to be better than Kickstarter. I don't know what we're doing now. We're just starting to all panhandle each other to death. But that aside, the governments have secrets. Governments have to have secrets, because they have to have secrets from each other. You know, if there's a plate of cookies on the table, someone's gonna steal them. If you don't like do some counter espionage and figure out who's gonna steal the cookies, who's the hungriest people, who's the cookie thief in the room. It's just about protecting our cookies, man. We're not dishonest people. You gotta have secrets about how you get your secrets. You gotta think of it. And these, you know, characters like Assange, they're like these kind of like, you know, that hacker mentality is just that information should be free. It's not a politician's platform. It's not something that's going to win you a popularity contest, because it's so easy to go, oh, well, if all the information's free, then this is going to happen. That guy's going to fall down and hurt himself. A hacker would go, who cares? I it's more important. There's a larger crime happening when information is not free. So these guys, what's interesting is, We keep deceiving ourselves into thinking that the throng needs a hero. Like, we have this weird, I guess it's not weird at all. It's like we're primates, so we need a face on Time magazine. We have to know who represents, like, what's right to do. Oh, it's this guy, right? Oh, it's the man of the year. It's the president. Let's vote for him. Let's not vote for this guy. This guy knows what he's doing. Oh, this guy's a rapist. Yeah, but did you hear this guy invented the light bulb? Yeah, but he raped someone with it. Everything becomes about, like, sniping and character assassination. Like Bill Clinton got a blowjob in the White House, but this shouldn't be about that. It should be about him tomahawk missiling the Cubans or whatever.
A very well hidden secret.
It's one of the most effective surgical missile strikes in history.
Where was
Bill Clinton's strike upon the Cubans?
Where was Julian Assange then?
the real Cuban Missile Crisis was Bill Clinton bombarding them while getting his dick sucked. Let's not go off on any tangents tonight. I just want to. I'm just saying, like
the hallmark of Harmontown.
Like Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, George Bush. We all know this. It's the elephant in the room that it doesn't fucking matter that the larger things are like governments do stuff. We do stuff. We pay for it with our taxes. It's a system. Boring. Like we don't care. There's nothing there to change. You can change cheering for a guy and then booing him. You can elect a guy. You can throw darts at his picture. You can put him on the cover of the Bible. You can lift him on your shoulders. You can blow him. You can punch him. You can talk shit about him. You can go, oh, he's in this or he's in that. What you can't do that with like just the boring fact that our system works in a certain way. And I think that the hacker mentality is kind of like bring the whole fucking thing down, you know, like just make everything really difficult to keep secret, and then we'll go from there. And there is no, you know, in there, if you're looking for a right or a wrong or a hero or a villain, you're only going to find these weird stories. And boy, those stories are really interesting. The guy, I wasn't following any of it back then. Maybe a lot of you were, but it sure is cool, rehashed by this director in a nice 2-hour Cliff Notes thing. It's really, really riveting. Boy, I could just suck that movie's balls. Yeah. I just want to take that movie to another movie.
What movie would you take that movie to?
Something with Meg Ryan. Is she still working?
I don't know.
I just want to make sure it gets our juices flowing, because afterwards I want to take that movie home.
Meg Ryan does it for you? She's the one.
I heard she does it for your date. Yeah. Like I just want to take the movie. I don't remember who Meg Ryan is.
How was Austin?
Where are you, Meg Ryan? Come on, give us a call. No, she's not really. Come on, if you looked like. We've created a universe here. I guess you're in LA, and Robin Williams came up at one point. Like, yeah, that would be like maybe he did some weird.
I honestly feel, Dan, that the last time I was in a conversation about Meg Ryan, somebody showed me a picture of her knees, and they were really weird. Like, there was a really weird knee picture of Meg Ryan.
Is that a segue?
No, it's just it's an interjection.
Oh. Austin was fine.
No, that was a segue.
Yeah, I had fun in Austin. Did some fun panels. There was a television festival there. I like that television is becoming what movies used to be, which is sort of a way for people to express who they are. You know, you don't really have time anymore. Trophallaxis, they call it, when ants barf chemicals into each other's mouth. You pass them. Bleh. Here's where I am. Here's where I'm going. Now you go like, arrested development. Bleh. You know, and the other person goes like, House of Cards. Bleh. I don't like the voiceover. I don't like I'm looking at the camera. Bleh. Bleh. You kind of just exchange. I'll give it another shot. Bleh. Binge watching. Subscription model. No more Nielsen's. Just people passing each other in the street, just barfing recommendations. Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. And then we all flock to Game of Thrones.
I was trying. I was warned to not get by my girlfriend to not get Game of Thrones spoilers. Don't look at Twitter. Don't look at anything.
Holy shit! Yeah, I had a 48
and
hours.
And I walked down. I live next to Paul Rust and his wife, girlfriend Leslie. They're both writers on shows, and they're having a Game of Thrones party. And they were spoiling it just by like walking past their house. You could just hear me like, whoa! Like you telling me that? Like, I was like, walking to my car. Like, you could get spoiled walking down the road.
Game of Thrones. It's hard to imagine. How's that show going to get shitty? What's it going to...
I don't know. Everybody, because like the last one was the one, and this is a spoiler alert for people that are hearing this, if you're here and haven't seen it. You haven't seen it.
To be fair, I haven't started watching it.
Okay, no, guys.
Oh, well, that's not fair. Okay. I thought you were like the one guy who hadn't seen had the finale queued up at home. I was like, come on, let's.
No, okay. So I won't get specific. Last week's episode, like people said, like this is a doozy, and I was like, great. And I was told, don't look at social media if you don't want like some fan people to spoil it for you. And so nobody did, but people kept coming up to me like as I watched it the day because we do Harmontown now on Sundays, so I watched it on Monday with some friends, and we everyone I came up to like, dude, did you watch Game of Thrones last night?
Yeah, I know that's
like,
what
like,
it was.
I was like, no, but keep it, zip it. I haven't seen it. I was like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just saying, like, everything you're doing, your eyebrows are spoiling it right now.
Yeah, it is.
And so these guys in the drawing room, these fucking, just I've never met these fucking people. Maybe I have. It's the drawing room. It's dark and I've been drinking. They could be dear friends of mine, for all I know. But these guys are like, dude, all I'm saying is, I'm like, stop it. And they go, just record yourself while you're watching it, man. So I didn't, but I watched it. And I was like, oh, it wasn't that. I expected Joffrey to fuck a dragon. I didn't know what was going to go on. It wasn't that good. It was still good.
Dino has that great story when he was watching a movie with two friends. And one friend didn't have time to stay for the whole movie. So he wanted to know if a character was going to live or die. And the other guy was like, whoa. And Dino's like, whoa, I'm watching the whole movie. And one guy had seen the movie. Dino had not seen the movie. And one guy was going to leave for work. And the guy goes, I just want to know if he's going to live or die. And Dino's like, stop it. I'm watching the whole movie. And the guy goes, well, whisper it to me. And the guy that's seen the movie whispers it to the middle guy. And the middle guy goes, whoa, when? And Dino's like, when's he going to stay alive? Are you asking when he's going to stay alive? Because no one does that. Not dying isn't an event with a time on it. You.
When?
When? Dino got so mad we were in Chicago and... it was New York. See, I don't know. It's like the drawing room. There's a sign that said, we make our pizza with vodka sauce. And we were like, come on. And we went in, and Dino just wanted to know about the vodka sauce. And he was like, how do you make the vodka sauce? And the guy started to just make it. Like we were ordering it. You know, he grabbed a slice and started to put a thing. And Dino's like, no. I just want to know, like... How do you make it? Is it in the sauce or do you think? And he goes, it's a spicy. And Dino's like, let's get out of here. And then as we were walking out, he went, it's a spicy. It's really bad. All right, so we're gonna do a new segment tonight.
Yay!
It's called Unenjoyable Things. I think you'll love it. I don't even know why I'm pulling.
Do you want a theme song for this?
Yeah. Can you give me something like a quick burst? This is gonna be. This is just a list, kind of off the top of my head. I think.
What's the name of the segment?
This is called. try not to do this in your sample script. Okay.
That was better than any of us imagined.
All right, voiceover. Just stop it. Just stop it. If you want to work in television, like I know. There's a million shows. Stop watching television shows and going, oh, that's how you write television. I will continue to read your script. I'm not going to throw it across the room because I'm not going to be like racist against your voiceover script. I'm not going to judge it because of the thing. But I am. I'm going to judge you because what are you doing? If it says on page one, you know who you are. It says Stan VO, and then it goes, that's me.
What a nerd.
I'm the guy that never knows what to do until he's doing it. I think I could pick that up from stuff happening in your script. What are you fucking doing? What did you stop jabbing me in the ribs? What are you like? If you have more information than you can possibly squeeze into the medium of television, if you need to do something with purpose, where it's like, oh, this looks like this is what's happening, but really this is what's happening. Like you know, you've got a lot to prove. I think when you do that, really think about what you're doing there. Fade in on a guy eating a sandwich. There I am, the sandwich eating guy. You know what they say about a sandwich? It's two pieces of bread with some meat in the middle. And that's how I feel about life.
This sounds pretty good.
If that's how you feel about life, Mr. Author, write a script called Sandwich! And feed it on some turkey! That's the point of writing! You're supposed to make yourself clear in that medium! If you want to make yourself clear by showing me something and talking to me during it, be Laurie Anderson! Do performance art! Go to a fucking art show and show... Have friends over and show them slides of your fucking vacation! That's me outside the Coliseum! I'm gay! I've always thought the Coliseum was like being gay. It's round. There I am, pretending to hold up the Leaning Tower. What's with me? I can't get a break. If you write a TV show, just fade in on a guy doing something. Let me figure it out, you fucking dick.
I think the music's really helping this bit.
I can't remember. I had a.
Please have three more so I can keep playing that song.
I've been reading a lot of scripts, and characters are not lists of things. You know, like just because a guy likes Coldplay and is wearing Axe body spray doesn't make him a character. Like if you hate him so much. You know, just have him get hit by a truck or something. I don't know. That one's harder to describe. It just there's a lot of like, especially when you have the two characters that have each a compatible list of things. Of like, and then one guy goes, "Well, I like E.T.," and she's like, "I like E.T.," and then the guy's like, "Oh, well, yeah, but I pooped in my pants when I was at E.T.," and she's like, "Wait, you just said you pooped in your pants when you were at E.T. I eat in my teas when I watch poop tea." cut to the coffee shop. Things are going well. I'm getting the impression I haven't warned you off of this crime sufficiently.
Dan, if you ever feel like you're flailing in this certain segment, you can just point to me and the music comes right back in.
I just want to tell you that characters are, you know, like you're, you know, they're, to a certain extent, yes, when you're describing your friend, you may tell me a couple details about the things that he wears or consumes. I just also think you should maybe know him as a person.
Yeah. As a person that, I don't write scripts, but as a person that gets to read a lot of scripts, and mostly half-hour comedy kind of things, if you're a writer and you're making a half-hour comedy right now, don't put Man Cave in it.
I mean, that's a, okay, let's build on that one, though. Here's the thing. So here's another thing that you can't do, and this is a little harder for a lot of you. You also, in addition to that, you can't have one character say, "And this is my man cave," and then have the other character say, "Rule number one, don't say man cave." Because that doesn't count also as a joke. That's not
also another thing, especially in comedies. Somebody, you're writing a script, and somebody will say something that is nonsensical. Like, someone will say
something. Someone will go, like, "Yeah, time to get the giver babbles." And then someone else will go.
And then the other guy will go, "What does that even mean?" In every fucking script you read.
That's the time for the voiceover. How, you come in, tell me what you're doing. What I mean by that is, exactly. That's the thing. Like, too many jokes being presented.
Have we ever explained
one guy saying something that doesn't make any sense, and the other guy saying, "That does not make any sense, Gerald."
Is that like a Monopoly guy? Is that close to the...
It's a pretty close to a Monopoly guy.
Have we explained Monopoly guy here before?
Maybe a long time ago.
Yeah.
Rob Schraub and I adopted as shorthand the phrase Monopoly guy to use in writing when you kind of set yourself up. Now, all writing is essentially a Monopoly guy. This is not an empirically measurable thing, like the way something either has sugar in it or doesn't. Like, it's everything is a little bit of a Monopoly guy, but I think it's there's a certain point where it's unnecessary roughness. The reason it's called a Monopoly guy, I think that's Rob Schraub, as young aspiring writers, were watching Ace Ventura 2, as you do.
Just to hone those chops.
And there's a scene in it where there's a guy that walks into a party and he's wearing a top hat and a monocle and he has a big white curly mustache and a tailed tuxedo and he's about 4 feet tall. And as most rich people would at a party, he's got some problems with Ace's behavior. Ace is a very freewheeling character. He plays it as it lays. I think he had just emerged from a bathroom and is very wet because he had a whole adventure and then he just said "Don't, I just took a huge shit in there" and stuff and then this guy, this little guy, who, again, just to describe him for you, just to give you the same breakdown that the wardrobe department got and central casting, he's got a white mustache, a monocle, and a top hat and a tuxedo with tails on it.
And short,
kind of cartoonish looking. I think he was holding two big bags of money with dollar signs on them. I can't remember. But he expressed some problems with Ace's behavior. Then as the punchline to the whole thing, like Ace Ventura went, "Hello, I'm Ace Ventura. Pleased to meet you. Let me guess, you're the Monopoly guy." And then held for applause because you're supposed to be like, "Holy shit, he nailed it." There's that guy walking around that movie set dressed like the Monopoly guy, thinks he can get away with it. Not according to the other guy in the same movie, written by the same person, who handed a memo to the lady that bought a tux, went to the wardrobe warehouse and said, "Do you have something a Monopoly guy would wear?" And then the guy went to sat down, "How can we do your mustache?" And they held up a Monopoly guy card and said, "Do it like that. Do it like on the card.
Yeah.
That counts as a joke if the guy's like just on the street. Then you're a badass. That's when you don't want to say, "How do you like them apples?" You want to, like, call the guy a Monopoly guy. I don't know. I guess you guys are bummed out because you know all your scripts are shitty. I can't. Do. Yeah, just be better at what you do. I mean, you'll get the hang of it.
Are you saying now, because you're looking for writers for your staff for Community, that you've been reading some turkeys?
It's not. I mean, you have to read. If I was trying to get work, mine would be one of the turkeys, because you're always in a different mood when you're reading everything. I'm not. I don't want to get presumptuous about it. A war needs soldiers, and in assembling a good staff, you need people to kind of, you know, throw their butt at you on a platter, and you get to appraise it however you want. Boy, I'm really burping it up tonight. So I'm not saying you're not a bad person. Your job is to write like 20 million bad scripts in your lifetime, and then you get lucky with some of them. But I just think, in the meantime, could you please, with the voiceover, it's really killing me. Like, there's so many scripts. Like, hey, I'm Steve. If you're thinking what I'm thinking, keep reading. It's amazing. Like, I know that there are shows on the air that do this, but I don't. You know, those are just people that got lucky too. Like, your job is to be better.
These are sample pilots. The people, because pilots are hard because
they're like specs, yeah. Like original.
You have
material.
To get so much shit done in a pilot. It's hard to keep action going with also like saying who everybody is and what they want and what they don't want. Voiceover is kind of a bailout, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. Especially like if somebody goes like, somebody walks in the room and goes, hey, who farted? And then the protagonist goes, not me. And then it freeze frames, and the voiceover goes, I did fart. I did. I farted. That's a little bit of a... I mean, when you're...
That's called the Wonder Years, I think.
you gotta ask yourself if you're practicing any craft at all. I mean, if you're just like... There I am. There's me. I'm God, spinning the planet on my finger. You know, sometimes being God gets boring, so I write a pilot and just fuck around. There's my flamingo. Why'd I make his knees backwards? I don't know. There's Molly and Kate. They're the best friends. You know, Molly's the kind of friend that always says she doesn't want to go shoe shopping, but then she does. Let's go shoe shopping. Not a joke. That's not a joke. Just because God said she wouldn't say it. All right. Kate's not about to fart. Go up. Just get down there with the people and just make love to them.
Is your staff coming together? Have you found people that you like?
Yeah, lots. There's a million amazing people out there. It's just a question of finding them. You know, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
What if it's not fine?
No, it will be fine. No, I have a.
Who else? Has been, as an executive producer, has been fired then rehired. Lauren Michaels, you.
I think. Do you count Moses? Wasn't he kind of?
I mean, no. I do not count Moses.
Okay.
Because he was all about voiceover.
Yeah. That's true.
That whole Mount Sinai thing.
The Bush was like, "Hi, I'm a Bush." If you're thinking right now, you should hate your neighbor. I don't think so. Anyways. No, that's enough of that. Erin's at home taking care of the puppy. It's a bummer that she can't be here. The puppies are a full-time job. We don't want to talk about puppy care, but I do want to tell you that it turns out a dog is not capable of knowing where to pee or poop for the first 7 months of its life. So if you have to be told that by someone after a few weeks of going like, what are we doing wrong? Why will it just pee anywhere? Their brains aren't even ready to receive the puppy potty training.
Is it just pissing and shitting everywhere?
You just have to. Dogs just won't pee where they sleep, so that's what crate training is. It's like, it makes you feel like a terrible parent because you just every 2 hours you take the dog out, you play with it, you do all this stuff with it, but then. Yeah, at the end of it, you can't let them wander your house like an adorable puppy because it'll just piss anywhere. Like, there's nothing you can really do but let it sleep and rest in this little puppy-sized crate, its little pen, which it'll associate as being like its home, its den, its bed, and so it only knows I can't pee here, I can't poop here, and then you take it out, you take it out in the yard, and it immediately pisses because it's got to pee because it's been in there for since the last time it peed, and then you're like, yeah, it's great. If you slip up for a second, that thing's gonna pee anywhere. It's just and puppies also they don't lift their leg, they don't do anything, they just stand and they strike this kind of like George Washington crossing the Delaware, kind of, but they thrust their chest out and kind of look kind of regal for a second, and then there's just a puddle beneath them.
That's how I do it.
Yeah. it's a full time job.
If you see me in a public restroom, you'll notice the regal pose I strike.
You put your foot up on the seat.
I actually bring a mock up of a hull of a boat, and I put one leg up on the four planks and the.
I'm sorry, I said you guys are bad writers. I didn't. I feel like our relationship changed.
Is there anybody in here right now that has a current script in the works that has a voiceover and feels like a piece of garbage right now? What?
It's not a comedy script.
It's not a comedy script. No. Okay, see, that's good. That's good. That's a start.
It's a drama?
Yeah.
1 hour?
Yeah.
Like a genre thing or a procedural? What do you got?
It's like Taxi Driver in high school.
Taxi Driver in high school? Right. That sounds good. Hey, are you talking to me or am I talking to myself?
I don't know, but we're going to find out. That's me, Trevor Bickle. Voted most likely to kill everybody.
I'm going to kill the high school class president.
That doesn't seem like a safe territory. That's like that's not, you know, Travis Taxi Driver is happening at high schools across America on a weekly basis these days.
Yeah, he's got his finger on the pulse right now.
All right, I like it. Finger on the he mimed putting his finger on the pulse. Scratched my throat. Remember the bit I did when I was yelling, screaming?
Yeah.
I got so angry about voiceover.
You've been burping. You want a Tums? You okay?
It's mostly just scratchy throat because I yelled. I thought it was Sam Kinison for a second, and I paid the price. That's me. I'm Dan Harmon. I used to think screaming was a good idea. Then I paid the price. Yeah. The other thing that I'm kind of iffy about is the flashback thing, the 30 Rock thing, the swish wipe to the thing. It's like, I mean, I didn't really do that a lot in Community because I felt like that had been kind of tread over. So, I don't know. But you make up your own mind about that, really. I mean, when I'm reading your script, I'm looking for, like, I'm looking for any kind of, like, I don't really care. You know, you can make a mistake. I don't care. Like, everyone does something that someone else doesn't like. You can't, you'd have to be a rock or a corpse to not offend somebody with your script.
Tate, I'm worried about you right now. You all right?
I scratched, blew out my throat yelling. Can't do it anymore as a bit.
There is water behind you.
Next to the vodka. He's never seen the water, by the way.
Right.
That water might as well have camouflage on it.
Is it really that easy? You just make your throat wet and then it stops? It felt more severe than just like it needed to be hydrated.
You want to irrigate the system there, baby.
All right. It also makes me feel kind of legit. I never thought about that, just drinking water in the middle of saying something. Like you go, so anyways, that's marriage. Trips to the dentist are never what they seem.
That's the thing. I've been listening to a lot of comedy, like stand-up stuff on satellite radio, and there's like those four or five stations that you kind of go through, and there's the blue collar one. It's always someone talking about their porch. It's like it's the worst. And there's comments that I've loved when you see them, but when you hear them, you hear the verbal tick that they do. And it's like, so punchline, but they do it every time. Like the comics that I really like, it's like, oh, you have that tick. That's a weird, like go-to thing you do. It makes me kind of not like them as much. You know who doesn't have that? He does. Richard Pryor. He has that kind of nervous chuckle to him. It's like when you see him, you don't care. When you just hear it, it's jarring.
I'm not being quiet because I'm hanging you out to dry. I'm just like watering my throat.
You do the thing when you run out of steam or something. Like you go.
Yeah, sometimes I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go, after you talk, I'll go. But sometimes it sounds like I'm being a dick.
First,
like,
you recover from gales of laughter.
Like you'll say something and then I'll go. All right. if I'm listening to someone else, I go, all right.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what is it? What am I?
Dick Cavett?
Yeah. Chelsea, what's her name? Smith? All right. I've clearly, like, my throat is blown out and I've run out of steam, and it's a good time to bring up some of our friends so that they can pick up the slack.
Yeah, Dan was texted me before the show and said he might be very late. And so Kumail was backstage, and I said, maybe you should just go out and do an opener. And he was like, I'd do that. And maybe we'll do that one time. We'll just have a proper, just like a good proper.
I'll just keep pushing the late envelope. Yeah, and if I'm ever like 10 minutes, yeah, I should have somebody come up.
Well, let's bring him up. Should we bring Kumail
up? Let's bring Kumail Nanjiani up. I know that.
Hello. Can I say one thing about that Goodwill Hunting scene, the apples thing.
You could say like a million things.
Well, okay, that's a movie I really liked the first time I saw it, and now I don't like it.
You stopped.
By the way, you
stopped liking them apples.
What?
As much.
By the way, you drinking water looks so unnatural to me. It's like tasteless vodka to you.
Melting me, yeah.
Well, okay, so the apple scene. First of all, that fucking guy. Why did he respond? He's like, this guy just showed me up, stole my girlfriend. Now he wants to know if I like apples. Well, I should probably answer in the affirmative. That's stupid. Also, what if he didn't like apples? Then does he have like other backup? Like, okay, you don't like apples. Do you like chicken wings? Well, then what do you wing of this? You know, I don't know.
I mean, I have been over this. I get
that scene.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is it true?
Especially that guy and what he's thinking.
Dan,
what
is it true the original script that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon purportedly wrote was about them saving the world from a meteor strike?
It was kind of like a spy thriller, I think. Like Matt Damon was a super smart like guy as he is in the movie. I think that's where the similarity.
He could kick ass, fuck any chick. He was super smart, and there was a meteor coming.
But was he still like a janitor? In a way, knowing what we know about you and being able to tell the future, you're kind of like Goodwill Hunting in janitor mode.
Yeah.
You really are. You're not using it. Your life is the first act of a superhero
Camille,
movie.
Camille, I had a dream about you last night.
No. Uh-oh. Did you guys listen to last week's episode?
We were here.
You think you're everyone? Yes.
The
original script for that.
As I understand it, I have not Googled it. I don't know that there was a. They wrote it. They had this script that was like it was kind of like I think it was like closer to like a kind of Bourne Identity kind of like thing. Like it was like a spy thriller, and then William Goldman, I believe, did an uncredited rewrite on it. And made it into a feel-good therapy thriller. But type it into Snopes. I don't know. Maybe I don't know how much is legend.
Does anybody know the details on that? The original script. I think I remember hearing that it was like Armageddon. Like they actually had to figure out how to stop the world from being hit by a.
And he's a janitor?
By a near-Earth asteroid or something like that.
Is it still that he's a janitor who's not
I don't know. But it was like, it was a script that you would write if you were a 12-year-old. Like, I fuck everybody and I kick a lot of ass and the meteors are coming to fucking save the world.
It's funny that their lives did kind of actually turn like that. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's the life that... He was born. He got to be Jason Bourne.
Yeah. And when they accepted the Academy Award for Best Screenplay... Yeah. That I think had been a near page one rewrite by somebody else, right?
Yeah, that's what
Matt Damon seemed to be a little contrite and a little like, hey, I'm Matt Damon. I'll take it with a thank you and I'll get out of here. But Ben Affleck was booyahing and high fiving and fucking, I think he did a cartwheel. It's like, you didn't write that thing, you cunt.
Did you ever see How's Your News? The documentary about the it's the mentally challenged people that
oh,
go out.
Oh, I know about it, but I
they go out they do news correspondence. It's sort of like a self-funded thing where they're caretakers. They wanted to do it and they kind of I don't know, they put this project together and they went out there and there's this Down syndrome guy who's like talking to Ben Affleck about but Ben Affleck is so he keeps asking him questions about Daredevil or something and Ben Affleck is so in actor talking politics mode. He's so supercharged about how bad the Republicans are and stuff. He comes the closest to being a little bit of a dick to a retarded guy. He's kind of like he kind of doesn't notice the guy's retarded and is like kind of a
he doesn't
well
notice.
I know but he does but I'm just saying like he's like,
Daredevil is blind
yeah. He just, everybody else, it's like really heartwarming because these people are doing what they want. It's like we're so used to like, it really cuts to the quick of this weird, ironic swirl that we have surrounding people who are differently abled where we think that sensitivity is treating them like ghosts because when they walk into a room, we don't want them to be the way they are, which is a horrible thing to feel about another human being. So we pretend we don't feel that way because we don't want to engage them. Meanwhile, the people who wipe their asses and pick them up and carry them into the water if they've never experienced being in water before, the people who wipe drool off their face, who stay with them to keep them from swallowing so much air that their stomachs explode, depending on how what they've got and how bad they got it. Like people who engage with them and don't have that kind of shame and guilt, like they're kind of delighted by people. Like, for instance, with Down syndrome, are typically very funny people. Like they make you laugh, and I think we all feel like very when we feel that laughter coming up when a person with Down syndrome like says something and is entertaining, like we kind of like. We have this weird reaction but the How's Your News is uplifting because they go around and it's like, I don't know, it's just like you know, they're going across the country and like there isn't anybody that's going, what's wrong with you, what's your problem, what are you retarded, like everyone kind of very quickly adapts and has delightful conversations.
Or those are the ones that didn't make it into the documentary where people are just like, wait, are you retarded, like cut, let's go to the next guy.
I'm sure there was some uncharismatic moment. But I'm sure if there was a big one, they probably would have put it in for the sake of sure. kind of give you the full picture. But Ben Affleck kind of, and it's not because he's a bad person. Like, it's not like he doesn't like the retarded. Like, I just remembered watching it going, like, I don't think he's paying attention. Like, he's just annoyed that the guy won't stop asking him about Daredevil. He wants to talk about politics.
Speaking of what you were saying, my wife's mom, who's like a wonderful person, Southern lady, whenever she sees somebody who has like Down syndrome or somebody who's in a wheelchair, she always goes, so pitiful. She says it
pitiful.
Every single time. And she's like so like, she thinks it's like a good thing. She's like, oh, so pitiful. But like pretty loud. One time she went up to a couple, two guys were holding hands and she was like, I think that's great. And just walked away.
Seal of approval from a stranger.
Yeah. Thanks, lady.
I mean, I guess pitiful and pathetic, have the meanings of those words have changed to pejorative words, punitive words. You're pathetic. You're pitiful. Like, pitiful is meaning like you're, you know, something to be pitied, I guess. Like, it's not politically correct, you know, but
just saying pitiful is not correct, I don't think, in any way. I don't think
it's
you could...
It's just saying, I pity you.
So pitiful? Well, what if she said so tragic? I mean, that's the thing. That's where it runs up against this thing where you're supposed to not... You're not supposed to feel sorry. You're not supposed to regard... the differently abled as being lesser than yourself.
Are they?
I mean, if a person has one arm, they have one less arm than the average person, and they're pretty capable of going like, yeah, well, I got the one arm, so they don't have to let it hold them back. You're not supposed to not give them a job because they have less arms. They could still go to the Olympics, or like as I found out on this stage, like some people can get indicted for murder and have like cyborg limbs. There's people with different numbers of things doing all kinds of stuff. When it's a purely physical thing like that, when you're like, I got one leg and I'm gonna jump over the moon. It's like it's very easy for us to compartmentalize and stuff. And then you have like, well, what if you're bipolar? What if you're transgender, but you're like, you know, you identify as a different gender than you are. What if you're a kleptomaniac? What if you're just clinically depressed? What if you have Down syndrome? It's harder for us to process that information and come out the other side, like just kind of rooting for everybody. We used to go, oh, everyone different is worse off. Here's, you know, we just call them worse off, and let's collect some money. And it's like in so many ways we've advanced in our thinking, but in some very strange ways we've kind of along the way gotten a little tangled in our own shoelaces, haven't we?
Play that cowboy song.
Hey, gang.
Adam Goldberg has come to the stage, and I'm not going to connect any dots with what we've been discussing.
I've discussed on I have a family history of muscular dystrophy. Got you to stop laughing with that one.
I don't think that's a problem for you, Adam.
Getting people to stick, darn you, Kamel. You quick.
Hey, Adam, already go ahead. Adam. Welcome to the stage.
Thank you. Hey, Adam, come on up here. Now edit it so it looks like we invited him.
I thought you
Adam, what do you have to say? Come on up, buddy.
put that in. I like Kumail's idea that this podcast is still edited by people other than lawyers.
Yeah. I'll be the devil's advocate and say Adam by definition has become the uninvited. You know,
was a horror movie.
Also, he had a good stint. I was listening to the car on the way here. He made forward steps last week, right?
Physical therapy, yes.
And coming up when asked and leaving on applause.
That was good. Yeah. Okay, sorry. What were you going to say? Muscular dystrophy.
Yeah. So my dad's in a wheelchair like 90% of the time.
Pitiful.
Should it be like 85 or should it be like 93? Because we can
adapt. Do we get to vote on it?
No, I'm saying
I'll go with zero.
All right. I'm pulling in that direction, but the thing is, there's this other medium that we see people who are like, who have Olympic stature and have a disability, and we see them as like this example of super crips, which is an actual term in discussing the disabled.
It's super crips.
Not like the super bloods, no. And we think that, since not every person is going to be an Olympic runner despite losing their legs, we look at normal people who lose their legs and say, well, why aren't you this guy? Why aren't you held to this standard of being a super Olympian who wants it the most?
Now, the super bloods they're doing was kryptonite, right?
Yeah. Don't boo, I loved it. I love that one, Jack. Play it. Play it to your own punchline.
All right, so I like what you're circling. Keep going, baby.
So in Iron Man 3, there was one of the huge... I'm trying to play to you guys. We're in a comic book shop. In Iron Man 3, the extremist virus was about a disability. It was about people who came back from war. And when we finally hear one of these people speak, when he's in the news van, he said, what was the most important day of your life? Person in the extremist program, and the person responded, the day I decided my disability wasn't going to hold me back. Now, there's not one person in this movie who gets extremists who we meet who isn't evil. Pepper Potts has already been established as a good character who gets extremists, but one, by and by large...
Spoiler alert.
These people are...
really?
You should have... statistically, they've seen it. It's the second biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, he's box office challenged.
My dad's in a wheelchair. I can spoil movies.
All right, continue. I think it's fine.
Is that one of the benefits?
That's one of the... They give like, you a little card?
You get the thing. You can park your car anywhere. Yeah. You can spoil movies.
I'm benefiting from the fact that I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right. I'm going to benefit from whatever Adam's point is before I benefit from Iron Man 3, that's for sure. I know that.
Go ahead.
And so we get this guy, and the implicit thing is that all these people wanted, you know, that they were ruined and that the only way to get better is through drugs, except that the hero of the movie just decides to use willpower to get over everything from PTSD to not having his superpowered armor. So we kind of see the extremist thugs as taking the easy way out. They're the villains of the movie. They're destroyed by his old armor, which he blows up. Because the movie's about becoming whole and getting rid of your disability through willpower.
So much as we decided at some point in the 80s or 70s that parents should both go to work. Like you know, mom can work and dad can work and, you know, kids can like have a house key around their neck and they can come home from school and eat some instant oatmeal and... because you know capitalism gets what it wants. Are you saying we're kind of the wrong energy gets behind this concept of a good handicapped person, a heroic handicapped person, is a person that just works way harder.
The cases are such that most handicapped people can't do that any more than you could grow a third arm by wanting it the most or not having anywhere to hold your coffee or something.
Of course.
Yes. Well, I've been unable to write for 2 months because women have rejected me. I don't know what I'd do if I lost a foot. I think I'd cash it
voice
in.
Over. Dan Harmon, start falling
yeah,
back
that would be
over.
Your crutch if you lost a foot.
Hey, that's me. But where's my foot? Well, it all starts 3 days ago. Oh, that's the other thing. And you're fucking pilots, though.
I was using a lawnmower when...
Do not fade in on something interesting happening for 5 minutes and then go to black and say 3 weeks earlier.
And then spend like 20 pages just getting to the guy with his...
Figure out how to start your story interestingly or get it there quicker, you lazy jerk.
And don't use the word heroic when referring to disabled people because they really don't... they don't like that because it's implying that, you know, your existence is something that's so hard that you have to be extraordinary to overcome it.
Hmm.
It's a term for people who go out of their way to do something beyond the moral expectation of the average person, not someone who gets out of bed every day, because otherwise they're going to be in bed
I kind of cringe every time someone on CNN or a major news organization uses the word hero. They throw it around.
It hasn't been used right in a while.
Yeah, it's like a hero. It's like a lot of people do things that people do in acts of crisis and stuff like that. It's not heroic, and also it drives me...
Well, hero has come to mean just cool person.
Did a good thing.
Like just popular person.
Heard screaming and told someone. That's the standard of heroism nowadays. And then people were like, oh, are we destroying America's heroes? This guy was actually a domestic abuser. It's like, you gave him the term hero really, really easily. You can take it away just as... it doesn't mean anything on the other end, too.
Taking it back to what I was talking about earlier when I was babbling about that documentary I loved, I think that my takeaway from this whole WikiLeaks story, which is this amazing, thrilling story that you watch, is that we have these systems that we totally accept and let them continue. But as soon as one person says, this system's fucked up and I as one person am going to do something so powerful that it's going to fuck up with the whole system or just fuck with it a little bit, we focus on that person because they're a person. And if they also have a stutter or they also have a weird personality or in Julian Assange's case, it had a sex offense charges.
And awesome.
And I'm not going like oh, shit. He was crucified, blah, blah, blah. Watch the documentary. Every point surrounding the story is really weird and awesome. But we focus too much on these people. And the systems that aren't human in the first place, that are doing all the fucked up shit, that's how they like it. It's a system, and it just stays in place. And then anybody that starts to speak up and goes like, hey, could we adjust the air conditioning in here? It's like everyone can turn to that person and go like, okay, what's your name? Where did you make your money last year? What do you like for dinner? Just start talking, and then you're in the spotlight, and sooner or later, because you're human, you're going to fail. And then the system goes, well, so much for that alternate point of view. That failed.
No, but don't you think he sort of cultivated that a little bit? He wanted it? Like the guy who came out today saying that he was the one who leaked Prism and everything.
Snowden,
did you see that?
Yeah,
Snowden. He's totally like cultivating a whole thing. He like has like... He
because
talks
he's
about,
a human being, yeah.
Yeah, but
in the meantime...
He's presenting himself as that. And
I think he's trying, because he's a human being,
because human beings are braggarts and narcissists and rapists and thieves and liars and politicians and diplomats and villains.
And lovers and healers.
There's smokers, tokers, midnight jokers. systems never get held to that scrutiny. You don't get to say this is what Google is.
You have to
anthropomorphize it in order to do that. You have to and so they continue on being systems, which if a person did what these systems did, you would go, well, that's kind of fucked up of you. You keep talking about freedom all the time. You sure are blowing a lot of people up, fucking weirdo. Hypocrite. Look at Jerry over there. Look at, he keeps, hey, why don't you talk about freedom some more and like kill some more people. Jerry, shut up, get out of here. A system can do that.
And sometimes people represent too much. When you considered President Obama as like when we saw him in 2008, he was much more a symbol than a person.
All right, so Adam, why don't you stay up here and play Aaron McGathy's character?
Okay.
I can't think of anything better.
I was going to say the same thing. We should get Spencer at her too. Then.
Yeah, Spencer.
Spencer Crittenden to the stage. If you would. Hello, Spencer.
Hey guys.
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, baby?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little hungover today. I hung out with Dino all day yesterday, and that really that'll do it to you. Dino Stamatopoulos, you'll get hungover hanging out with that guy.
He has that new plaque up at Little Dom's, right?
Yes, he does.
Wait, yeah. What?
Little Dom's. There's three booths in the bar at this restaurant that we all go to a lot in Los Feliz, and there was a plaque that's been up there forever, but this couple that we don't know. And then Dino goes there all the time, and he spends so much money there. And he actually does an old school tab. Do you guys know who Dino Stamatopoulos is? Some people clap.
Who is that? He does. Dino's here. Are we getting attacked by zombies?
He got a plaque that says Dino Stamatopoulos, April such and such, 2013. But at the same time, his went up. John Hamm got the other booth.
Oh.
Yeah, John so Hamm like, cheats at bar trivia. There's a place in Studio City, went there a few times, blatantly on his cell phone during bar trivia.
He cheats?
Wonderful actor. You can't be on your cell phone.
He
That's
cheats
the rule.
At getting plaques at booths because he doesn't go there that much.
Well, he's already John Hamm. He gets to have plaques and cheat at quizzes, you guys.
Apparently.
He gets to have a plaque. What I want, if I ever achieve any level of fame, I want a sandwich. I want a thing that you can go into a
You
place.
Just want like a sandwich? No, you no, can just buy one.
What's in it, Jeff? Okay, you're down at the deli.
I'll have the Jeff Davis and it's something.
What is it though?
I don't know yet. That's all
Figure it out.
You're not going to get it till you know what to put on it.
Now, okay, if we talked about this in the show before, Cantor's Deli on Fairfax, we talked about that.
Danny Thomas
is the number two because famously he liked to take poops or people had like people poop on
he
top of him.
He loved to poop.
He loved people pooping on coffee tables where he was beneath it and he loved poop stuff.
Wait, what?
If you're going to do that, use a glass coffee table. Otherwise, it ruins
Danny
the
Thomas, father knows best, like poop apparently. And on the
Wait, what is this coffee table poop thing? I feel like, you know how he coffee table poop, you know what I'm talking
people like to be underneath a glass coffee table and people take a shit and they can see the shit hitting
That was
the
a thing,
table.
Like a sex thing?
Yeah, some people are into glass like bottom boat. Scat play or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, you like to watch the poop come out of the butt. And
Did everyone know? Does everyone know this? When was this covered? I don't know.
Well, they know about scat stuff. I mean, you guys are on the 4chans and the Reddits. Or, I don't know if it's on Reddit. Maybe that's the line between Reddit and 4chan.
Scat.
But there's a lot. I always see the little thumbnails and I'm like, man, one time I saw Schraub had a VHS that involved like stuff coming out of somebody.
I saw that one. And
it was called Found Crap.
And somebody like eating it. And it's amazing. It makes you gag.
You know, one of the
like
first
watching it, like you actually just looking at something can make you gag.
One of the first porns I ever saw, that was the preview before it. It was a regular porn.
Like Pixar, like a little short.
Yeah. It was a regular
it was a desk
porn.
Desk lamp eating a banana's shit.
It really was. It was a regular porn, and before it, the preview was two people shitting on each other. As if to be like, do you like sex? Well, then you might like shitting on people.
I really feel like if
coming this fall.
Sexuality is weird and complicated, and we're all very different, but I really feel that if poop or blood is involved in you getting turned on. Go back to the drawing board, man.
Well, that's how, I mean, yeah, but well, let's come out. I mean, that's easy to say, but
it's yeah.
Yeah,
when
but
she's coming
but
are
you,
are, you, bangs, are, you an, do?
Are you an idealist or is there a line like
I was talking to a girl one time. Was she,
as long as nobody's getting hurt.
I was talking to this an
expert. Blood someone's getting hurt.
Well, maybe or somebody that likes to bleed. I don't know. I'm just
I was talking to a girl one time. It's like an extra on this movie I was doing a long time ago, and she was saying that she and her boyfriend, they love to pee on each other. And they love.
How did you get to that?
You've been to the extras.
You've been in a movie set where you're in the background and you're standing next to somebody for 6 hours. We got to level four conversation at some point, and she was saying like she's like tattooed and kind of like punk rock looking, and she's like, my boyfriend and I love when he pees on me. I love peeing on him. I'm like, yeah, I'm not down for that. She's like, what are you, prude? I'm like, oh, well, like, do you, I don't want my sheets covered in piss. And she's like, no, we do it in the bathtub. I'm like, okay, never in the morning.
That's what this
never in the morning, because morning pee is gross. I'm like, okay, fair enough.
They're connoisseurs.
Yeah, exactly. So you have your rules about pee. So you're prudish to other people too.
Yeah.
Like I said, do you like being shit on? He's like, no. I said, don't call me a prude. We all have our limits. But I just don't need to.
Yeah. You're a prude relative to her. She's the clean pee rolls downhill into a bathtub.
Right. I'm just somebody else who loves being peed on more.
The shit porn I saw was also in the bathroom. Like as if like, oh, we don't want to rewrite the entire book.
My friends were in this metal band I used to go to. I knew from high school. They have these parties and there was a videotape, like a VHS tape. It said 666. The label said 666. Do not watch. And so they'd leave it kind of not right in play at the party, but it'd be up on a shelf, and somebody at some point would see it. And they go like, oh, I don't fucking watch that tape. And they'd pop it in, and it was this black and white home video of two gals and a dude. And the guy was eating the poop out of the butts. And the footage was so fucking potent, so absolutely fucking volatile. that you could, people would walk in like, hey, what are you guys doing? And see one friend and go, and have to walk outside, and the party would be 16 people outside, like recovering from it. And the reason why it was a bummer is the refusal of the call. There was always a moment where the guy, just as he'd eaten some poop, he clearly didn't like eating the poop. And then more poop would be produced, and he would kind of, not do a camera take, but just like, oh boy, what a day. Yeah.
like a bird in the Flintstones.
It's a living.
Yeah, I've got my mortgage.
Get the fuck out of there. You don't like eating the poop.
But this is why I want that Cheroos app to work. Like, I mean, there's probably, if there's 100 people here.
Who likes eating poop in here?
You can't.
Taxi driver guy, you like eating poop.
In an ideal society, we could ask and a hand would shoot up and they would come up. But it's like, it's too easy to make, too easy to target, you know?
Let's promise to not judge. Just raise your hand and we won't judge. No, really, we just want to know.
If you like eating poop, I was
under the coffee table.
If you like eating poop or watching somebody else eat the poop.
Or having poop on you or pooping on someone.
Or the coffee
just
table.
Just raise your
or
hand.
Or does the story about Danny Thomas make you think, I'm going to give that a try tonight? Is anybody here?
Raise your hand. No judgment.
Anybody in this room that feels that way has felt that way longer than you guys have been thinking up ways to get them to come up. Like they've been walking. That's the thing. And it's like, where do you draw the line? You know, it's like, oh, I thought they were coming for the people that like to eat poop. So I didn't care. And then one day they came for me. You know?
Yeah. First the trade unionists, then the scat
fetishists. Especially if we're talking about something that actually gives you an erection or the female equivalent, whatever that is. I have no idea.
And never shall.
I'm still working on it.
And never shall.
I'll figure it out eventually. But if that's obviously an involuntary response, right? To me, it seems like...
But it can be conditioned.
The tricky thing is that when you get into this point where... And there's plenty of people, and that's why we have... You know, this is an issue. It's like... Oh, you know what gets me going is when the other person wants nothing to do with it or is too young to want anything to do with it and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, shit, okay. But shouldn't you feel sorry for those people
shitting on people
work
is not...
toward a solution with them? Like, a lot of them want to be castrated, you know? Like, they go like, fuck, I can't.
Wait, so we've gone from shit to pedophilia.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about...
Raise your hands. No judgment.
Yes.
I'm talking about unpopular sexual things.
But there's a big line between shit porn and pedophilia.
Well,
there really is.
The big line being that someone gets hurt. Someone gets victimized.
I would say the shit porn, you could be into shitting on somebody or being shit on without having something broken about you. But I think if you're into kids, there is something broken about you.
That big line only moments ago was being drawn before the shit people, though. Where, Jeff said, like, you know, if it's shit, go back to the drawing board. I mean, do we mean...
No, I don't, because sex is such an animal act, and I think what is more animal than, like, shitting on somebody? So,
right, so
I could see... I'm sort of getting
eating.
Convinced a little bit.
All right. We're bringing Kumail over.
Is Emily still here?
Emily!
Can you get one of those Valentine's Day coupons?
Yeah, hey. You said anything.
When you poop in your automobile. Is that what that was? Yeah.
I don't think it's a disorder to be into.
When we
shit
go to the
sex.
Moon, when we colonize the moon, if you like people to poop on you.
In zero gravity?
I'm not going to kick you off the moon. Like, I don't think, it's not like, oh, let's get them out of here.
That's a new component, though, zero gravity.
If you like to have sex with 8-year-old children or women that are screaming, no, stop it, then we have a problem because your right to swing your fist ends at the end of another person's nose. So now we have an issue because of your rights, because of other people's. But if you want somebody to poop on you, come to the moon.
We got that. I also saw it like when I was 10, so part of me is like, that's not so crazy. I did.
I mean, yeah. If it makes other people physically gag, yeah, no one's going to watch you pay $10 to watch you do it.
Can we call this episode 666? Do not listen.
All right. Spencer, what do you think about people pooping on each other?
That's weird.
But what if there's a girl? You have had a crush on this girl for years. She's gorgeous. She's amazing. She's awesome. You're like, this is the perfect girl for me. And she's making out with you for the first time. It's the night of your life. And she's like, the only thing, once I have to shit on you. Like, and then we can be in a relationship.
I'd think, that's weird.
I mean, that would be a red flag. More so because of her weird ritualistic approach to it, where like if you're that into it, why do you only want to do it once?
Well,
like,
she wants to know that he's there for, you know, through thick and thin.
She's not even into it. She's just like, I just want to test you to see.
Yeah. No, this is going to be horrible for me, too. It's very embarrassing. It's going to be very thick.
I really like the direction the show's going.
We always get to one little deep topic. Last time it got so deep, we found out Jeff had psychic powers, and we had to preempt D&D. That's why we should get started now.
It sure was magical, though.
But that gave you a whole extra week to prepare your D&D materials.
Was that what I was supposed to do?
Yeah.
Oh. You were too busy shitting on people, weren't you?
You know my secret. Yeah, those are the sheets. You should pass them out.
Pass them out. You wanna catch us up to the...
I was gonna say something with.
I got
now. Come on, go ahead.
It's still about the. I remember watching the shit video when I was 10, and they were pooping on each other, and then later I remember thinking, like, probably the saddest moment has to be when they're like, it's like maybe later that day and they're showered and they find a little bit in their belly button, and they're like, oh right, I did that.
Yeah, because it's something you immediately forget once you get home.
That's me. Thank you.
Cool.
By the way, I'm wearing the Harmontown shirt today.
Yeah,
it's really
Kamel,
awesome.
Very smartly clad.
And yeah, isn't there some kind of flash sale or something? Is the flash over or?
Yeah, the sale's still going. Flash so sale. Buy it. It's like super comfortable.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a question.
Okay, right. He has a question.
So, like, if we're all worried about, like, somebody shitting on you.
No, we moved on.
But who hasn't jammed something up the shit pipe?
Okay, flash jam on Harmon.
That's a false premise. What do you mean?
So, like, people have not done that.
Are you afraid of something coming out of it when you don't mind putting something in it?
No, we can't sell things here because it's a different store. That's why we can't sell t-shirts here. But you can buy them on harmontown.com. Thank you for the question. Thank you.
I think you might have just comp trolled.
Yeah, I had to.
You used to work in politics, right?
The gentleman's question was what's the big deal with poop coming out of your butt if you could put like a Sharpie pen up it or for the, you know, I think the answer would be, first of all, my answer would be exactly whatever. I think a lot of people's answers would be, well, the poop is like, it's not it's made out of poop and then the poop gets everywhere.
The deal isn't that the poop leaves the butt. That's normal. That's the whole is like, if that's so weird, it's not so weird.
Yeah, it's the poop that's normal. The problem. It's not
just
the
don't
butt.
Be smearing it around people. That's the where it starts to get iffy. No one's questioning that poop leaves the butt and that's normal.
What did you say, sir?
But when you pull it back out, then there's poop on it.
That's when you, also well, yeah. True.
And that's why I only did the Sharpie thing once, because I was masturbated, and I was like, I wonder if this is gonna be great, and then I wonder if this is gonna be great.
Is a great sentence to think before you do that.
The male orgasm, like, it shuts you off like a light. You're like, and then you're just hanging out, and then I was like, all right. Gets a Sharpie pen out of my ass and never, yeah, it's got poop on it. I'm not going to use it to write a chore list. Like, don't do that again.
Buy new Sharpie pens.
Yeah.
Only insert disposable items.
But I think, you know,
it has poop on it when you pull the Sharpie pen out?
Well, I mean, more so than your average Sharpie pen.
Sure.
Whether
it's
you can see
the top
it or not.
5 percentile of poopy Sharpie pens. Yeah. Sure.
So where were we in the adventure?
I don't know. Am I going to get music? I mean, I could do it without, but that's what I've been waiting
on. The music.
You got music whenever you like.
Now
it's
you
fine, man.
All right.
Okay.
Spencer, if you would.
Last time on Harmontown D&D. Our narrator gave a stunning and vibrant oratory recounting the travels and tales of our heroes. Then everybody talked about Jeff's psychic ability. It was decided by Kumail that Jeff's abuse of his special gift was arrogant and unfortunate. Dan, having heard 1,000 or more of Jeff's special abilities, decided that he'd simply default to his old standby response to these stories, through drinking. The subject shifted to money lending, and Aaron pointed out that Jeff, although claiming to have faith in Dan's ability to remunerate Jeff's loans, was simply and shrewdly using his psychic talent to hedge his bets, whereas Dan let Jeff money out of the kindness of his heart. A healthy laugh was enjoyed by all, and in the end, nothing happened, leaving our adventurers where we last met, on the material plane back home in the forest, fired forest of Connie.
Yeah! Yeah.
All right, I examine the surroundings, Spencer.
You've just exited the plane of shadow. Around you stand dozens of felled, not like hundreds of felled burnt trees. This is what you recognize to be the Connie Forest. You met, Tylenol with Cody and the unicorn there.
All right.
So is Coco back?
Coco is back.
Yay! And I still have some nature's ally for no reason.
Yeah, see what I did there?
You're examining the surroundings. You got this down. Yeah.
Well, guys, we did it.
Yay. Yeah.
I guess we should all just split up and go our separate ways. Nice meeting you.
Wait, so what did we do? We
banished our shadow opponents.
But we still have the soul of growth and we figure out what the main thing of it is, right?
I mean...
Are we done with the quest?
I wish.
No, we got to get the shards.
No, knee-jerk response. So I heard the soul of growth, right? That was mentioned?
Yes.
Yeah.
As it happens, you hear a vroom, 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 vroom of pulsating energy coming from your back. Your pack.
Is Paul Lind here?
I investigate. I pull out the soul of growth and hold it aloft.
Holding the soul of growth aloft, it is caught with a brilliant green energy. That happens.
Regrow the forest with the soul of growth.
Hey, that's happening. A brilliant emerald light casts a bright glow on the burnt forest as well as your party. Before your eyes, legions of green shoots and leaves burst forth from the soil, growing at an incredible pace before your very eyes as if by magic, except literally by magic. Quark, you can also hear a loud cracking, shattering sound coming from the inside of your bag as well as a burst of green light from your bag.
Whose bags?
My
Quark.
Bag.
That's Jeff.
I hear a cracking coming from my bag.
A cracking followed by a shattering of maybe glass or something.
I throw the bag down and look back agape.
A second green, green light.
Huh?
Gape, shattering. They all sort of harken back to the conversation we were just
having. That's just you.
That's just you.
Kumail, come on.
I can't get
over
it.
It was when you were 10.
It was when I was 10.
That's just going to happen.
Yeah. It's always going to be there.
I've read a book.
Okay.
So that happens. You throw the bag down, then exploding from your backpack like a river of emerald light, swirling around the growing green plants, you see a coalescing form. It forms from these plants and these leaves and that grow into being, as well as these charred, limbs of the tree. It coalesces into a 12-foot bipedal form.
Whoa.
You see golden red leaves crowning a tangle of clump of briary thorns, which seem to be its head. Glowing green eyes are embedded in its face like glowing coals. Living and dead plants wrapped around each other and tied together by thin green sinewy vines form into a bipedal shape with four fingers on each of its two hands, on each of its two arms, and two large stump-like legs. It speaks in a powerful voice. Thanks for releasing me!
No problem.
What the hell was in my bag?
This guy.
I was forged into the knife.
People at home aren't getting it, but Spencer's doing a very wonderful beard shake when he does this creature's voice.
It's more of a throat shake.
Are you my talking dagger?
I was. To be told true, I am the true soul of growth. What you have there was a fraction of my powers.
What's your name?
My name is the soul of growth.
Can I ask it a question?
Yeah.
Are you friend or foe?
For releasing me and granting me back some of my powers, I would say you're friends and I am your ally.
Is it
nice?
Politically incorrect to climb you?
At this point, I think so.
In our culture, it's a friendship symbol. I did go for it, Sharpie.
I'm like an avatar of nature.
Well, we're like, nature's to be enjoyed. Haven't you read or been The Giving Tree?
I hope people enjoy.
But why don't we let that temporarily conclude the amount of arguing we do with the 12-foot tree monster?
Now at this,
who wants to be our friend?
Okay, bowing
in supplication. The seasons are mine to command.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
I'm sorry.
The seasons are mine to command.
Okay,
all right.
It's just a little bit of truth.
Do you want any more credentials?
I'm just going to, you know.
Credentials?
Where did you
go to college?
I can produce my CV.
Okay.
What kind of music do you like?
I don't.
do you produce food with sunlight?
One of the tier of growth's powers, the tier of growth being that thing you hold, can produce food.
For you?
For anybody.
We should eat. Let's eat stuff.
Where's the tier of growth?
Loose forth nature's bounty.
Do you have any burritos?
He spreads his hand wide and the soul of growth kind of glows brightly before like, basically, like, distributing on the floor, like, a banana and, you know, like, there's some tubers and some mushrooms, like, a bunch of edible produce.
Can I take the banana?
Okay.
Yeah.
You wanted the banana?
I could
there's,
find more.
There's
I'm
multiple
ranger,
bananas.
I'm I'll take
call
two
right
of the
here.
Tubers.
Two tubers.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. Let's. I prepare, like, a campfire. We've been through a lot. Let's get some food back and enjoy having shadows, which I assume we have now.
You do.
Yeah! We spent like 8 sessions going for those things.
It was a big deal for a
back.
While, yeah.
Can we give this soul of growth like a nickname, like a handle?
Soli.
Soli?
Like Gordon?
Soli
I don't
works.
Know.
Soli.
Grother?
Sure.
Grother?
I like
who's
that.
Up, Grother?
Soli Grother.
Rudy Manbranch.
Yeah.
I thought you were. I was.
Rudy Moss.
Good, but I would have said trio.
Rudy Moss.
Rudy
Leaf.
Rudy
Leaf. Twig.
Rudy Branch.
Rudy
Wood.
Rudy Poop Leaf.
Rudy Branch.
Wood Leaf.
Rudy Branch Haver.
Rudy Woodgrowth.
Rudy Woodgrowth.
Fresh and
the third. The third.
Fresh and fruity.
Rudy Woodgrowth the third.
Rudy Woodgrowth the third.
Hey, can we call you Rudy Woodgrowth the third?
It means we all something good talk. In our language.
That works.
Okay. All right. We all did right. Something as a party.
While I talk, I eat a tuber.
All right.
So, Rudy.
Please let me cook that next time.
I mean, I know you're our friend and servant, but I'd like to think it's a reciprocal
thing.
I don't think
you said servant.
Yeah, I heard servant.
He said he was there to help us and serve
yeah.
us, right?
I mean,
and the seasons were arts to command.
If you could forgive us, I mean, you're a creature in nature, so you probably do less drinking than us. Like, we kind of lose track of what we were doing a lot, and
yeah.
we're kind of wondering,
what news from the material plane?
What we were doing yeah. before
when we left?
Yeah, hey Rudy, what were we doing? This is like The Hangover.
I would D&D
know
has a voiceover.
That. Yeah,
how
it does.
Would he know that?
Yeah, I mean, he was with us the entire time.
Reaching all the way back, my dad had a thing. Like
you were trying to get back with your dad, and he swallowed one of the shards of Flim Flam.
Yeah, I was kind of getting into this last week, but the last thing that happened is you were with your dad, and then there was like the invasion by Admiral Darkstar. He brought his ships in,
right.
And they released all those Kandroids. And at some point, they decided it would be a good idea if Quark got Sharpie to throw him onto one of these robots, and the robots just took him into a fucking airship.
It's all coming back. That happened in Brooklyn.
We
fought that guy, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. My dad's in trouble. Hey, Rudy. And I start talking, and what I do as I'm talking is I ask him if he can get us back quickly to wherever we were when that happened.
He's like, I would be rather ungracious not to grant you this request. However, could you give me the soul of growth?
Ooh.
It will complete my powers.
Now, just moments ago, you said you were yourself the soul of growth, and I don't want to get caught up in semantics, but...
Semantics-wise, I was referring to the tier of growth.
So you are the tier of growth?
No,
I am the soul of growth. The tier of growth was a mere imitation.
You want the tier of growth.
I need the soul tier.
That's about the size of it.
We should have a meeting away from him to figure out maybe he's a bad guy and wants... I'm sorry, Rudy. No offense.
What do we get for the tear of growth? We get.
It healed you.
Saying, what do we? He wants it, but what's he?
What's in it for us, Rudy?
I can grant you the power of the seasons, and I will take you to your father.
Oh, let's do it.
That sounds.
Let's just give it to him.
I mean, it's just at this point, it's just a banana maker.
That's a good point.
I take the tear of growth and I flip it like a coin to him and I go.
Well, I'm gonna on record say that I'm against this idea.
Yeah, okay. I'm against it, but I'm not stopping.
All right.
But go ahead, do whatever you guys do.
I take it and I go. You know what, kid? You're all right. And I flip it and it goes to the like
Michael Jackson.
Well, Mean Joe Green throws the towel to the kid in the old Coke commercial.
And also, as it flips through the air, it kind of slows down. And I think in its reflective surfaces, we see some of the cooler moments from our campaign.
Yeah. When I fired
those arrows. Kind of like hugging and like
when
fighting
I fired
spiders.
The other arrows.
Yeah. Me fucking a dead
horse,
spider.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had sex with my horse.
Yeah.
And Enya plays.
I can.
I think Enigma should play. Go ahead.
I'm imagining it. It's lovely in my mind.
All right.
Anyway.
I'm also going to put my hair into like Liberty Spikes, you know, with mud down and just cut it into Liberty Spikes.
Jeff fucks a horse.
I fire two arrows.
My dad ate a shard.
Okay, so
what if the tear stabbed him in the face and he died?
I chop off the dragon's dick.
We get two people, instead of sparing them, we have them murder each other, and then we kill the survivor.
All right, so now Rudy catches the tear of growth, I imagine, right?
Oh, yeah, that was happening.
And what happens?
Well, I was going to say, so he catches it, I mean, as you do. And you see a kind of void open up in his kind of chestal regions as like vines and tendrils kind of move out of the space. And
he's a girl tree.
He puts it back up in it. And
why is he a girl tree?
Because he has a void in his torso.
Heart. His chestal regions.
It's not.
There's a hole in his soul, so he's a woman? Is that?
We all know women are woefully incomplete as a spiritual being. Right?
Why is it a girl? Yeah, because he has a void in his chestal regions.
And they have cooties.
You said he has a chest vagina? Is that what you think?
That's what I'm imagining.
Stand down, sir.
It's not a chest.
If you really want to recap, I thought of the idea of saying that he's a girl before he got to the point where he said it was in his chest, and then I wouldn't let it go
because okay,
I'm a petty entertainer.
Because Rudy could go either way. Rudy could be dude or woman. Okay,
or trio.
Yeah. Anyway, so like little green vines.
Name. Yeah, no.
They're doing stuff, wrapping around things, specifically the soul of growth. They entwine it, and then the void kind of closes up. And then he's taken by, like, it looks like he's on fire, but it's, like, green, like, magical
Shit.
Energy emanating from his body.
He's a girl.
He's a girl.
Okay.
He's like, take this. And then he reaches out a finger at you guys.
What's that? Is that a kind of banana?
It's like a finger, but with a softer G.
A finger?
He gives us the finger.
Is he saying, pull my finger?
He's not. He's more, he's going to kind of like touch you guys.
I reach out my finger.
All right.
Finger.
Can I just call it a finger?
We all reach out our fingers and like toward him.
They start finging.
Play that Enigma song again, I think.
There'd be like magical light now, but yeah. This isn't the world of Dungeons and Dragons in real life, I'm afraid. Anyway, so you feel like a rush of wind kind of overtake you, and Dan, you feel kind of a vibrant force welling up inside of you, and you feel the dry, cold winds blow upon you. And
Krista Berg does.
Moraine feels the summer heat of summer. And the wintry chill of icy cold breeze blasts into Quark. and you feel spiritual, elemental energy taking you up. You're not quite sure what this means.
Are we like
yet.
Captain Planet now?
Not quite.
I forgot what I felt because I was first. It was easier to connect the dots after you went down. What did I feel? Humidity?
What was it? The magic. Spring, fall,
okay.
I'm fall,
summer, winter. Yeah.
Okay. Whose heart?
We are the seasons.
These are the reasons.
It's good that we didn't have a fifth person in the show.
Teleporting to the plot.
So the wind kind of diminishes and you feel the central presence residing on your kind of forearm area, and it coalesces. There's a ring of energy that hardens into, it looks kind of like a tangle of vines and stuff.
Wait, it looks like a douchebag tattoo?
Kind of, except
like
it's
vines?
Not a tattoo.
We got vine tattoos?
Except it's not a tattoo. It's like made out of fine gold. It's like jewelry, but kind of stylized to look.
Like a gauntlet around our forearms?
Yeah, kind of like that.
It's cool, dude.
It's not super
know,
cool.
Man.
I'm not going to really sell it hard. It's just a thing.
Can mine not be like vines?
It will be
barbed wire. Give him barbed wire.
Can I get Christmas lights?
No. Autumn leaves.
I was winter.
Jeff could get. No, you were summer. Jeff was winter.
Can I get Calvin from Calvin Hobbs pissing on a Chevy symbol?
Only if he's wearing a snow jacket. Because you're winter.
Yeah, it's cool. He's peeing ice onto a Chevy.
I examine the surroundings.
Can I get the Chinese symbol for fall instead of just?
You don't know, like he scrawls like douchebag in Chinese on you.
Oh, this looks great. Thanks.
But yeah, your surroundings are unchanged.
So now we have these magical forearm gauntlets of our the powers of our seasons.
They contain the power of this. They contain the power of the seasons.
Thank you, Rudy.
Sorry.
What?
Voiceover.
Oh, no, that was a tree talking.
I know, I get it. Just throwback.
You started with voiceover.
Now it was a Dan, write some voiceover for Rudy, like if it was a script about Rudy. Like bad.
So there I was, back to the real reality plane. Just gotten my new powers, but now look at these jokers, all dressed up with the seasons.
All dressed up with the seasons.
That's his internal monologue.
Yeah.
Are there any roads leading away from where we're standing right now?
He's like, there aren't any. You're kind of in the middle of like a burnt down forest. But he's like, if we will go, let us go.
All right. I'm a tracker, so I can track.
Yeah.
Not a lot in that sentence.
Yeah, well, knowing this area, you know the cardinal direction of where Yellow Camp is. That's, you know, Butzalot's camp.
All right.
So you kind of have an idea of where it is anyway, but he's gonna spirit you away there.
All right, let's go there.
Man,
all right.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
So I hold up my are there on our right arms, our little season gauntlets?
You can pick whatever arm you want.
Well, left arm.
I hold up whatever arm mine is on, and I hold it forward like we're like now like the super friends.
Like, it's like Captain Planet.
I don't know what Captain Planet is.
Oh.
It's like Voltron, but it was like...
But Caesar.
Wow. People recycling.
Yeah, the criminal, like the villains, like use too much water on their golf courses that they owned.
Okay.
Like literally.
Kwame, your TV is too big. Wheeler, you have too many children. This was an actual Captain Planet plot. In the future, they all bickered each other for being assholes. It was the best episode.
Okay, I put my arm back down because that didn't work.
Yeah, nothing happens. Sorry.
I was trying to come up with a little catchphrase thing
going
that
to
we do.
By the power
of summer, or winter.
Summer.
Fall.
Spring.
Let's be.
Seasons together.
Seasons together. Is that, can that be our group name? Seasons together?
Yeah.
It's like a really terrible
orange. The four seasons
is better. Is that Bill?
B-Funk
is Bill called us the four seasons.
Luxury. Accommodations. Efficiency. Affordability. Four seasons.
It's not affordability. It's very expensive.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Well, for some people.
So having
rich. Ah,
having workshopped our new catchphrase... we embark with Rudy towards the yellow camp.
He puts his hands to like a small sapling style tree and he like touches it and it gets super huge, really big tree, and then he's like, step in. Like it's a door. It's not a door. It's a tree.
I tell him that.
All right. I just, because I'm so stoked about my new winter powers, I said, I'm cool with that.
Okay. All right.
And
yeah.
then I... Fuck, yeah. fuck all of you. I swear to God. I'm going to make you all eat my poop later.
I'm skeptical and I go, I won't fall for that.
Boo!
These jokes feel like I've been up here for 500 days.
Of summer.
Yay, you got it.
This idea is traditionally associated with fertility.
I thought you were going to spring into action or something, but I like that.
That too.
Okay, so I in my barbarian impulsiveness, I just jump through the into the tree portal.
Okay, the rest of you see Jeff kind of whoomp into the tree, like platform 9 3/4 style.
I whoomp after him.
I whoomp also.
Men. Because my character's female, and that's what Aaron would have said, guys.
Can we close the portal before...
Is there a lock?
Is there a lock?
I assume Wump was you guys falling into something that's not a portal, because he said it's a tree and not a portal.
The portal closes while he's talking about it.
All right, me and Coco track our way to where they're going.
I stick my head out of the portal and go, Moraine, stay here and guard the rear.
I have to from you.
Because he fucks everything.
Yeah,
that was good. That was legitimate.
Okay. That was legitimate.
That was good.
He's like the joke judge.
I okay. am. Mm. I have.
That's overruled.
Then I have tables.
Then I go whoop back. I whoop my head back in.
All right. That happens.
All right.
Okay, I go through the portal.
Okay. Oh. So you come out inside of a much smaller tree. You don't know how you... It's magic. Whatever.
Tree walking.
Yeah. Yeah, tree walking. That's a spell. It is. Look it up. Anyway, you get out, and before you see the familiar yellow canvas of Yellow Camp. However, usually this is like a circus-like kind of tent style. Rather than that, it's more like you see it stretched between watchtowers, and these watchtowers are black and foreboding.
Hmm.
Much has changed since you've left.
How long were we gone for?
I don't know.
Aren't you nature and based on seasons? Isn't your whole thing about the cycle of the year and the seasons?
Inside of a knife time is really complicated.
Okay.
All right. So is anyone around? We can ask them what the date is.
You're still about 400 feet off from kind of the walls. You can kind of see a couple guards. Yeah.
Let's walk to the guards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they should be good people.
Oh,
Yellow Camp. I mean, this is our town.
Also, you know, it's time to level up. I'm spoiling for another fight. I got my shadow back. I'm ready to rock and roll.
You don't get to say when it's time to level up. That's.
I'm saying, but you got to get some experience points and fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's itching to level up. Okay.
That's
true. Let's go find some people.
Yeah.
So as you near the towers of Yellow Camp, you don't actually see any guards posted. It's rather odd. You don't see really anyone. You do see some smoke kind of rising from the center of camp, kind of like a smokestack maybe. You don't see a smokestack, but it's that kind of column of smoke.
Father!
I run toward it. I'm not even being careful.
Sharpie, wait. Be careful.
No!
Okay.
You're
Did
at
he
that
say
canvas.
No? He was too far away. I couldn't hear.
All right.
Did he say no?
There I was, like no. watching my boyfriend Sharpie no? run away towards fire. That's my life. I have Liberty Spice now.
He's doing the VO.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we know.
Yeah, we know. I don't think...
Their predisposal to resent Adam is burdensome on me.
That was a bad joke. I'm not, it's not because they didn't like me. It's because the joke's been done too much.
Anyway, all right, so you get to the canvas.
Can we run behind him?
If you want, yeah.
Well, guys, you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
You're at a point where you're on the cusp of throwing open the canvas and revealing the inside of this camp.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Guys, right. We're the Four Seasons. We can do this.
Yeah.
Let's walk like a man.
Yeah. Let's get to say walk like a man.
Yeah. I won't fall for this. I use my line way too much.
Yeah, I go, I'm still cool.
We use our catchphrases too much. We just came up with them. We like them a lot.
Tell it to the world.
So you throw open the canvas and kind of enter this area, and you are struck with like a horrifying sight. Barbarians aren't really known for industry. However, you see like these metal constructions that look like maybe kilns or some sort of large oven style thing that are kind of set up in the middle. There's two of them. They dominate the space.
Did they get holocausted?
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's not like that.
Okay,
I'll just spoiler it right now. Sorry, Holocaust survivors. It's not like that.
And non-survivors,
I guess. Number of Holocaust survivors who listen to this podcast is very small.
Very small Venn diagram.
I'm not willing to take that risk.
Okay.
It's a responsible
dungeon
master. All
right, so they're using kilns inside of a tent.
Yeah, you see some people kind of, you know, like cattle can be pushed around in a circle to like be harnessed?
Yeah.
There's people doing that. So there's a bunch of barbarians. You see humans and gnolls alike. If you recall, there's Gnoll Alliance with the Butzalot tribe going on back in the way past.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, they're both chained up, and you see like it looks like a scrawny, his skin is like gray and emaciated with like, you can see kind of like white lights kind of like emanating from his body, and he's got a scraggly like beard made out of tentacles. They're really thin kind of tentacles,
and he's whipping them with a lash. That's not what a gnoll is. That's the bad guy.
This is some sort of crazy humanoid that's whipping these gnolls and these humans. Gnolls are like a
and they're operating some sort of mill or some sort of like a...
Yeah, they're being pushed around in a circle, and that's put up to like a
is he a mind flayer?
He's not. No. You know, you've heard of mind flayers, and this looks more like maybe some sort of demonic creature, maybe a devil or a demon or an abomination.
And what are these?
Chris, sneak over, stab him in the spine.
No. Let's talk about this first. Okay. I go and pledge allegiance to that guy.
right now?
I'm not going to stop you.
Okay. You also see similar sites, like there's kind of like a three different kind of turbines of human energy, and they're all being attended to by demons. And if you recall, there's these puddles of flesh demons that you saw way earlier. They look like slimy puddles of flesh-covered goop that hold themselves together and roughly have arms. They're kind of sliding around as if on patrol kind of around the area.
And they've seen us? Did we kind of...
They haven't. You've kind of found yourself between two little, like, recognizing them now. You're so horrified before you didn't really see them. But these are large, black, empty cages, so they're made out of iron. So you're kind of hiding behind these. And in the very center of this area, you can kind of see between two of these engines, you see a giant pit in the ground. Giant pit.
Giant pit. Jesus. Well, we really bit off a more than we could chew here.
Yeah.
Running into this giant yellow tent.
But I'm feeling pretty good. I got my hit points back. I'm spoiling for a fight.
I think we should leave this place. Are you sure your dad's here?
Well, I mean, his peeps are. But it's 9:48. We should, you know.
What?
These people have been through a lot. We talked about eating shit for like 25 minutes. You know, Adam's been...
There have been puns, yeah.
A regular. Like, he's on stage
that
the whole
That is not
time.
On par with the previous thing.
No.
One's much worse.
Not all Jenga blocks are shaped the same, but, you know, a certain amount of them result in a collapse. I mean, I don't know what... Because we can't get into a fight with a bunch of demons and slimers. And
okay, well, so we're established for next time. Now we know what's set up. We're ready to run.
I'm going to have to reset it up next week, though.
Yeah.
But
we made friends with Rudy. We're now the Four Seasons.
Yep. Well, you think we should use our next 11 minutes to...
No, I'm just saying
Is Rudy with us, by the way?
Yeah, well, he's not actually. He's behind you. When you burst through the tent, you lost track of him. But he was kind of a little, like maybe 10 feet behind you. You've lost track of him at this point, unless you kind of go back.
But he did come with us to Yellow Camp.
He got you there, and he followed you. And he would have gone in, you'd think, but then he didn't come in.
Well, I was thinking we probably have to use our powers, our new seasonal powers, to destroy or take over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that really means, though.
We'll do it next time.
We should have tried them while we were outside the yellow tent to see what they
Flashback
do.
Flashback, too. Us trying out our powers.
Yeah, it's a good thing we tried out our powers.
Yeah, well, you did try holding them aloft. dramatically.
Yeah, can we all retreat away, kind of go into a clearing where we can all just try out our new powers and just kind of see what we got?
I'm going to have to actually roll some dice for that.
Oh, shit.
Well, yeah. But we don't want to do it in front of the...
Yeah. We move into it, like, we get away from it.
I think he's rolling dice to see if we can just barge into a tent and then take an audible.
What's that guy trying? No. Don't have super strength. Okay. Super speed? No, come on. Okay.
All right. Yeah, Summer. Everyone makes it.
All right. We just kind of backed out.
All right. So we heard a record scratch.
Let's go to the firing range.
Is there any river or water or what's the topography around me right now?
It's kind of like hilly, and there's the occasional tree, chaparral.
I see a little small bush, like a chaparral shrub, and I hold my hand out. I don't know what to expect out of my winter powers, and I go, "Winter power!" of this bush, and I want to see. Because no harm in trying.
You feel an extreme chill come over your arm, but that's about it.
What?
Your power is you can make your hand
cold.
It's your
first attempt.
My first
attempt. It's like you can give yourself the stranger. That's it.
I go up and touch the bush that he was pointing at.
You see like a almost open bud. Open slightly more than it was.
Oh, so we have budding, like nascent powers, yeah. Right?
Or you're just doing them wrong.
Can I go to? Oh, all right.
Grab my arm and try using.
I do it correctly.
A stunning No. You don't. How do you attempt?
I go and I rub my hand. I rub my hand.
Nothing happens.
I kiss it and I wave it around.
Nothing happens.
I have knowledge nature, so I'm gonna just start saying nature words in Elvish until my arm activates.
Which nature words?
Stunning sunset.
Go
summer
with
days.
Go with activate.
Flex. Activate.
Nope, none of those.
Pitiful.
Guess Spencer's imagination.
I walk over to Rudy and I go, "Rudy, how do we use these fucking things?"
Yeah. Oh, that's one answer.
That's a great way to solve this problem. But it'll take me some determined amount of time to teach you guys behind the scenes.
Really?
So we have to prepare these spells, kind of?
We'd have to break here.
Woo! the fourth wall?
So when we...
Yes!
So when we come back, we learn these spells, and then we're going to go into the yellow tent and use them.
All right, that's good. I think we made the right choices. Yeah. We learned a lot.
Spencer, thank you so much. Adam Goldberg, well done, my friends.
Careful with that back. Don't work it too hard.
Stay put, Camille.
Stay put, Camille.
Yeah, you ain't going nowhere.
You're like a high school principal. I'm a little scared for Camille. That's all right, Camille. You stick around.
Stay right there, mister. what was this movie you were doing? You were out of town shooting a film?
I was, yeah.
How'd it go?
It was really fun. I'm going to go back in for most of July to do it.
Fantastic.
I'm excited. Yeah, it'll be good. It's Hot Tub Time Machine 2. So I don't have a big part in it, but... It's funny.
Isn't Gillian Jacobs in that as
well? Yes, she is.
I thought I saw a tweet that she and Chevy are both in it.
Yeah, they're both in it. Chevy and Gillian and John Cusack's not back, but everyone else is back.
What do you play? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I play... So have you guys... If you see the first one, Cordry sort of has become this tech giant, and I'm like his head of R&D. Like I'm sort of his business partner guy.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
When will this come out? Probably several months from now.
I think it comes out next week.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't understand how anything works. Yeah, I think next week. I go late July to shoot it, so next week sounds right. No, I'm very excited that Gillian's in it. She's really, really funny. We were in New Orleans, and it was well, I can't tell the story, so I won't tell it.
Oh, man. Wait, do we beg you?
Can I tell the story and then we can take it out?
Yeah. Just tell them. You know that just cueing them to get their little YouTube recorders out or whatever.
YouTube recorders? You mean cell phones? Grandfather?
They're little horseless walkie talkies.
Horseless walkie-talkies.
Automated electronic.
Gidgets.
So you, tell us a story, and then we'll get the hell out of here.
No, I won't. I don't want to.
Okay, it's about you and Gillian and poop, right?
Gillian took a crap on a glass coffee table, and you were eating it with Chevy?
Yeah, it's... eating it with Chevy. I like that even though... Why is there a glass table if we're just going to end up eating it?
Well, a lot of people...
A lot of people what?
Because it's a dish best served cold.
Poop is? Yeah.
So I'm told.
Like the
we
old
should
have
ended it there, shouldn't we? We should have ended it there.
I don't, well, I, on that shriek of disapproval? Yeah, I guess.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Harmontown. Right. We love you dearly. One more time for Kumail Nanjiani. Thank you, brother. Spencer Crittenden. Adam Goldberg. Thank you very much, matey. I'm Jeff Davis. One more time for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
You're all great writers. You're all great. You did, your scripts are great. Thank you.
No voiceovers. You want to end it with a little voiceover? A little epilogue voiceover for the show?
That's me ending the show wrong, just like I always begin it. You know, they say life's like what you make it, and I say it's all in the cards.
Thank you. Good night. We love you.